We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, here we are off and running. Hour two of Sports Talk live on location at Hooters on Vets and Metairie, leading you up to the Saints Players Show at 6 o'clock with Saints kicker Will Lutz. Kevin in Folsom, Cam in Hanville, Ash in LaPlace, Mark in Minneapolis, and Sam in Metairie. I know I told you guys you were going to lead off this hour. Here's the deal, though. I reached out to Coach Nick Saltamaggio of Hanville High School. We got him on the line right now, so we're going to talk to him first. We're going to get to Coach Salt right away. So I apologize, Kevin and Cam and Ash and Mark and Sam. I'll get to you as soon as I possibly can. But, Coach, I haven't heard from you at all since this ruling came down, what, 4 or 5 days before your jamboree and a week and a half or so before the season opener. You got suspended for 4 games. Andrew Robeson, your quarterback, suspended for the entire season. It was upheld today at a committee hearing at the LHSAA. Nick, what was your reaction?
Hey, buddy. Yeah, it was actually the day before the jamboree, Christian. I don't know. We were just overwhelmed. You know. The first thing I have to do is I have to talk about the unbelievable support from our superintendent, Miss Felicia, our assistant, Miss Felicia Gomez-Walker, our assistant superintendent, Ken Ortling, our parish AD, Cade Rogers, our media specialist, Stevie Corvetta, our principal, Brian Lumar, our athletic directors, Mindy LaBeouf, and Denise Keller, and just our football team, because their support is really what's gotten Andrew Robeson through all of this, buddy. But it was just devastating news, Christian. And, you know, there's some things were said and added I thought were very, very profound. Number one, no one knew the story. I mean, the great thing about social media is you can get a lot of access to information. The bad thing about social media is it's usually 95% inaccurate. And people were writing things on social media about Andrew, about our school, about me, that were just completely wrong. So at least the truth got told today. But, you know, in typical LHSAA fashion, they I don't even think they listened to the presentation that we put on and just rubber stamped it. And now a kid, a great kid, and I'm not just talking about his athletic ability. I'm talking about as a human being, has been brutalized. And to me, that's what this is all about. And I got into this profession because I love teaching English. I love coaching football. But more importantly, I love kids. And to watch what happened today, I don't know if you had an opportunity to look on Twitter with some of the videos that people were posting from in there. It was the single most devastating thing I've ever been involved with in my life. And to know that those principals and the commissioner were able to sit there and then have the gall to tell him, oh, listen, you could still go back to your old school where
what?
Your family was brutalized. But if you want to play, you can go back to your to Vanderbilt Catholic and play for a coach that destroyed your dad, destroyed you, destroyed your family. But you can go back there and play. I mean, that was their answer. You know, and it just overwhelmed me, the callousness behind all of it.
They're tone deaf. They are tone deaf. Coach, I said something earlier, and I kind of spoke on your behalf, and forgive me if I did that poorly, but I said earlier that you're the kind of guy that you're a big guy. You're a big boy. You can handle the 4-game suspension, whatever comes your way as a human being. But I would venture a guess that you would be willing to sacrifice you not coaching for a year for Andrew to get the opportunity to play.
No, there's no doubt about it. You know, I have a lot of years left in me in this profession, and I'm at a great school and a great school system that affords me the opportunity to enjoy the environment constantly on Friday nights. But, you know, I think there's some things that haven't been said. You know, Andrew losing his senior year, but the absolute devastating effect it's had on our football team. You know, I have to compliment my coaching staff. My coaching staff has been just superior in the way they've prepared our team to play. But, I mean, you covered it. You knew what it was like when Sean Payton, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying I'm Sean Payton by any stretch of the imagination.
No, but when you take away the head operations, there's going to be some devastation that happens.
Yeah, and so this has affected 100 kids, you know, and it affected one traumatically and catastrophically. but it's affected 100 kids. It's affected a school community, a school system. And for the LHSAA to act the way they act, and, you know, another thing that was said in there, you know, by Mrs. Robertson was, there are schools in this city, there are schools in this state, both select and non-select, that are cheating as we're speaking, and nothing seems to happen to them. Yet Hornville, which follows the rules implicitly, our athletic directors and our administrators, both at the school level and at the parish level, make sure that the rules are followed. We get this, and this kid who did nothing, Christian, he did nothing wrong, gets this. And look, you know I'm in it all the time. I can name the names. But what's sad is so can the LHSAA. But they do nothing to them. Nothing. Not a thing. And so Hornville's made to be made an example of, and a really great young man gets destroyed by this. It overwhelms me.
Coach Salt Famaggio, Hornville High School head football coach here on Sports Talk on WWL. Coach, do you regret the decision to, I think it was Jaquan Jackson that was close friends with Robeson, and he's the one who got the jersey. That's at least how I understand it. Do you regret that decision to allow him to put that on for that magazine?
You know, to say yeah would be to admit to guilt to that, Christian. What bothers me about it, and it came out today, the thing I regret most was I wasn't smart enough to see through the ruse. You know, I should have known when Atwell and Vanderbilt wasn't going to let him use the jersey after I had already been told that, hey, there's no point. We know he's going to Hornville. After he was denied it and after the kid had earned the right to be on that magazine, do I regret it because of what happened? Absolutely. But at the time, everything led us to believe that, you know, they knew he was coming here and they weren't going to fight the move and sign the concurrence form over. And so you can only make decisions based upon the information that's given to you. So my biggest mistake was trusting people I have no idea about, and it will never happen again. Both from a professional and emotional level, we've already started at Hornville to install safeguards in our program across the board that those type of things will never happen again. The question is, are all the other schools going to do the same thing? Are all the other schools going to stop going to playgrounds and issuing out hats and having open houses and bringing kids through their athletic facility and having summer camps where kids can come free and having summer work programs where kids work for 160 hours yet pay off $12,000 in tuition? Is there going to be some type of institutional control of kids living on one side of the lake but playing on the other, both select and non-select? Those are the things that I want to know. Hey, if I'm going to get smashed because out of compassion I let a kid wear a jersey so he could be on a magazine cover, then somebody needs to come down on everybody else that is going way, way beyond what I did. And I'm sorry I'm getting loud with this, buddy, but today was a horrible day for a great young man. And it just bothers me that the association really won't look at itself and look at the other schools that are going out of their way to follow no rules because no one cares.
Coach, you're a guy that pulls no punches, right? And you're very direct. I'm going to be very direct with you in asking this question. Do you think the LHSAA is corrupt?
Oh, I wouldn't say it's corrupt. I will say this, Christian. This is my 36th year in this profession. It's a principal's organization. That's what they go to the hill and scream from the highest mountain. It's a principal's organization. Well, there are fewer and fewer principals today that have any idea of athletics. None. Zero. They have no clue. It's a necessary evil. So you have them voting on the lives of student athletes, of high school kids, and you know what? How's my league score? Are we following Common Core? Oh, we have a football game tonight? Oh, our baseball team's playing a doubleheader? Oh, I didn't even know they could play a doubleheader. That's what you're dealing with. That is what you're dealing with now. So corrupt is not the right word. I would say lack of the importance of athletics in high school. That's the right way to describe it.
Inconsistent in its rulings as well. inconsistent across the board. They overreach sometimes, and then they kind of just brush some things, sweep some things under the rug. Coach Salt, can you stick around, man? I got a few more for you.
Yeah, I'm good, buddy.
All right. We'll step away and come back here on Sports Talk on WWL. All right, welcome back. Getting back to Coach Nick Salt, Famaggio, head football coach at Hanville High School. The ruling coming down today. Andrew Robeson, the quarterback at Hanville, his suspension of 1 year being upheld for basically wearing a Hanville jersey on a Louisiana High School football magazine cover. Coach Salt, I know your passion, and that's great. I'm happy that you're this fired up over it, because you should be, because a kid lost his eligibility for a season, for 1 year. Do you think that schools will move away from the LHSAA?
Where do you go, though, Christian? You know, I think, you know, the state of Louisiana needs to move and figure out what to do with the LHSAA. Not high schools move. I don't think that's the answer, buddy. I truly don't. I don't think splintering the association is the answer. I think what the answer is somebody in our state government needs to look at what's going on with the LHSAA. Because a few years ago, our legislature pretty much gave the LHSAA carte blanche. They can do what they want, zero repercussion. So that, to me, that's the issue here. Not dismantle an organization that stood strong for multiple decades. It's get somebody from our state government to figure out how to fix this. That's what I think needs to be done, you know. But I am not in favor of this, of what's going on. But I'm certainly not in favor of dismantling the LHSAA.
Coach, I know you well, so this is week three of your 4-game suspension. How are you handling this?
You know, that's another thing. I get to read about how terrible of a guy I am on social media because it's about me. My suspension is not about me. It will never be about me. If they feel like I was unjust and I'm, you know, I can live with it. If they think I'm unjust and that's my penalty, then so be it. That's my penalty. What I can't live with is what has happened to a really fine young man. What has happened to an outstanding football program, what has happened to a great high school, and what has happened to an outstanding school system. That's what is bothering me above all of this. Above all of it, Christian, that's what bothers me. You know, and I don't think any of those things were taken into consideration by anybody today. It was unanimous. Are you kidding me? Out of 14 people, not one person thought that this kid was worthy of the benefit of the doubt? Are you serious? I mean, I don't know how the people at Vanderbilt Catholic, the head football coach at Vanderbilt Catholic, can even live their lives. But I don't know how those 14 people that voted today, not one, and I'm telling you, Hanville, St. Charles Parish Public Schools, put on a great presentation, presented the facts as we investigated it. I got a pretty good vocabulary, buddy, but I don't have an extensive enough vocabulary to answer these questions.
What was his reaction? What was Andrew's reaction?
He was destroyed, as he should have been. His mom was destroyed. His grandfather, his dad. I mean, just the entire moment of that, to listen to those principals all vote one by one by one. It was almost like watching a prize fighter he couldn't lift his arms and the ref didn't stop the bout and just watch one punch after another punch after another punch after another punch for 14 punches until you finally, you know, timed him out or he got knocked out. It was the most horrific experience I've had as a football coach, as someone that's been around high school sports going back to 1973 when I was a ninth grader at Holy Cross High School. It was the most devastating thing I've ever witnessed in my life for a family and for a school. It was just, I don't have the words.
Did you get a little choked up when you saw it?
I am getting choked up now. I mean, it's just really not, you know, again, some things were said in there. What could I, you know, Andrew pleaded, what could I have done different? Tell me what he could have done different. What could he have done different? You know, and like I said, the mom pleading with him to re-vote. And the fact that, you know, these people have been around high school sports. His dad was a coach. And they played on a 7-on-7 travel team through the city, an all-star travel team. Those kids talk. They know who's swapping schools, who's skirting rules. All those kids talk. So it wasn't like you were dealing with people who you know, had no idea what's going on. They know. They knew. And it was just – it's just been the worst, you know, worst month. I just don't even know how to – I don't even have the words anymore. I just – my feelings for him and my feelings for Hornville – it's just overwhelming for me, and you know, I know there are brighter days ahead. I work for a great school system. I work at the best high school in the world for a great principal, great administrative team. I have awesome football coaches, and I have kids that love to play here with great fans. So brighter days are ahead for Hornville, but to think that they took something so precious from this kid, and you know, he said when all this started, Christian, something that sits with me every day, and I'll break down tonight when I think of it. This decision has changed the path of his life. Mm-hmm. I mean, you think about that. This is an 18-year-old kid whose path in life is changed because of the decision today. Mm-hmm. I don't know how a lot of people can sleep with themselves tonight.
Coach Nitz Saltafamaggio, Hornville High School head football coach. Look, thanks for joining us on short time and the extended period of time, Coach. And look, man, it's a sad day, I think, for high school football in this state. Coach, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, buddy. Thank you.
All right. Way over time, we're going to go to our news. We'll take another break. And then QB to QB, I promise I'll get to these calls. I just, look, that was an impromptu visit with Coach Salt, so I apologize. Hope you guys, though, enjoyed it. Pretty passionate stuff there. This is Sports Talk on WWL. Welcome back to Sports Talk. Bobby Deuce and Christian here. QB to QB brought to you by Go Auto Insurance Company. Save money, drive safely, and the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center. We welcome in now Saints quarterback Drew Brees, at Drew Brees on Twitter. Drew, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Good. Drew, obviously, you know, I guess you're pretty confident what to expect from a Greg Williams defense. What's the hallmark of a Greg Williams defense?
Listen, they always play aggressive. You know, Greg has a very multiple scheme. You know, there's a lot of things he can do, you know, depending on how the game's going. So you really have to be prepared for everything. It's highly aggressive. The guys play hard, and you just got to be ready for anything.
Now, Drew, boy, could you, I guess when you went to bed Saturday night, I guess you couldn't have dreamt of a better start, of a pedal to the metal. When you look at the start of the game against Tampa Bay, it was like bam, bam, bam. All of a sudden, we're up 7-0. You had to be pretty confident the way that game started, and obviously it didn't end that way. But it seems like y'all were well prepared and ready to roll come that first series.
Yeah, listen, we felt like we had a good game plan. You know, we wanted to establish the tempo early. You know, we to take the ball and whatever it was, I think five or six plays, and go down the field and score.
Yeah,
you know,
six plays, 71 yards. Yep.
Yeah, that's a good way to start it off.
Now, Drew, when you look at also, I mean, obviously you want team wins, but when you're going to look back on an opening day, it seems like you've had the utmost success when you look at opening day as far as throwing touchdown passes. And I thought that was interesting that when you hit Ted Ginn Jr. on that 28-yard touchdown, gives you the most touchdown passes in season-opening games in NFL history with 35, and Peyton Manning had 34. So, you know, I know you're going to be humble, but I thought that's a great accomplishment. That just shows me that you're ready to play year in and year out when you talk about opening day and getting it done.
Well, you know, I didn't know they were keeping track of that stat, to be honest with you. But you know, you start the season, you want to start fast. You obviously want to be sharp. You want to be productive. You want to score points, regardless of whether you know we're throwing it in or running it in. As long as we're scoring points and you know playing a winning brand of football, then that's what we're aiming for.
Drew, how you doing, man?
Good.
This is Deuce. Drew, got two questions for you, and I noticed that you did it twice. There were two throws, kind of turkey hole throws. You had the cornerback cheating on the deep out or the out route for the inside receiver. How often do you practice that throw? And then the other part, the other piece of it, you know, when you talk about just timing with your receivers, what are you looking for or what are you trying to accomplish when you talk about just rhythm and timing with the receiver?
Well, so the type of throw you're talking about specifically, yes, that is something that we work on just because sometimes our defense tries to jump that on us too during training camp. So I feel like we get some work at it. But, no, I mean, that's something that, you know, you want to keep the defense honest. And so, you know, when guys – you talk about trust, timing, anticipation, all those things. You know, we talk so much about guys being in the right place at the right time, you know, with the right type of spacing and you're taking the right split and you're taking the right release. And, you know, when you do all those things and you end up in the right places, then that paints a great picture for the quarterback, you know, and it puts guys in positions where, you know, man, no matter what the defense, they can't cover them all, you know. And so, you know, there's so many things that go into a successful play and a successful pass play. You know, it's about the protection. It's about, you know, the timing of the route and the receiver getting separation. And then obviously the ball being thrown on time and all those things. But, man, the more in tune and the more attention to detail that you can have with all those things, you know, the more productive you're going to be.
Drew Brees, at Drew Brees here on Twitter on QB to QB on Saints Radio. And, Drew, how'd you like lining up at wide receiver on that first possession?
You know, somebody asked me about that today, and they said, have you ever done that before? And I really have to think about it. I think that is the first in an NFL game. I don't think I ever did it in San Diego. I don't think I've ever done it here. So I guess there's a first time for everything. And we got a touchdown on the play, too, which is even better.
Do you want to see more of that, Drew?
So wait, Drew, do you think you have enough moves where
– he had terrible get-off.
You can run that slant route or at least get inside position where if Taysom Hill was screaming in there, you're going to catch a touchdown or what?
Well, listen, all I know is that somebody came out to cover me, which means that's one less person who's in there trying to make a tackle, right? So I did my job. Now, had somebody not covered me, I told Taysom, I said, Taysom, they don't cover down on me. You rip that thing out there, man. I'll get you a touchdown pass.
Right. Drew, I noticed that you were like 4 and 5 yards off the line of scrimmage, so nobody could jam you. I'm sure that you were instructed to do that, right?
Get out the way.
Oh. Yeah, so nobody could take a cheap shot at you.
I didn't want there to be any discrepancy as to who was on the ball, who was off the ball, right? whoever the receiver was, they were on the ball, so I was making sure the official knew I was off the ball.
I got you.
Now, Drew, it seems like throughout your career it's been 8, 9, 10, and at times even 11 different receivers. Was this kind of a game plan or just how the game unfolded? When you look at number of targets, that Michael Thomas had 17 and Alvin Kamara had 12, both very productive when you consider Thomas having 180 yards, Alvin Kamara 112. And I know you always spread the ball around, but I kind of noticed, I don't know if I've seen that in a while. I'm watching, I don't know, kickoff the NFL season, Julio Jones, all of a sudden when he gets like 20 touches, 20 targets, and then he had Michael Thomas with 17. Is that just taking advantage of the defense, or was that kind of a game plan that, hey, I'm going to get it in Michael Thomas or Alvin Kamara's hands beyond double digits?
You know, I don't think that was necessarily the plan. Yeah, you know, obviously that's a lot of touches in the pass game. I think that's just kind of the way that it played out. That's the way that they played us. it didn't feel that way necessarily until, you know, you looked at the stats after the game. Because like you said, Bobby, you know, we're always in a position where, man, we can spread it around. And, you know, if a team
right.
decides they're going to want to take somebody away, hey, that's fine. You know, we got plenty of other places to go, you know. We're going to find the open guy and try to find the matchup. But, you know, it just happened to be one of those days where there was a lot of opportunities for both those guys.
And, Drew, now this may be not off topic, but I guess not necessarily dealing with the Saints, but I know you appreciate football greatness. And I know it was on the flip side, but Ryan Fitzpatrick as a 35-year-old, man, I was just proud of what he did because I guess I'm getting old or whatever. But when I seen the 35-year-old Ryan Fitzpatrick and the kind of game he played, I mean, it just goes to show you that age is irrelevant as far as if you can get it done and what are the coaches asking you to do. Because, I mean, Jameis Winston could have played better than Ryan Fitzpatrick, what he achieved.
Yeah, he he couldn't have played any better, you know. I mean,
right?
He made a bunch of great throws, especially ones down the field on third down. You know, a bunch of big plays, scrambled at times. You know, obviously the one at the very end to seal the win. You know, it was a really gutsy performance on his part. You know, unfortunately, it just happened to be on the other side of the ball from us.
Now, Drew, when you look at the film of the Browns, obviously Myles Garrett, he's lived up to expectations since he came in the league. Joe Schobert, here's a linebacker that highly active, always around the ball. But I was kind of impressed as far as, you know, when you get drafted, the expectations, Denzel Ward, a couple of picks, three pass defending. What have you seen as far as the individual play? We talked about Greg Williams and his scheme, what he's going to do, but just talk about maybe individual players that you saw in film really excelled with the Browns defensively.
Yeah, well, you know, you look at differences from last year to this year, they pretty much have an entirely revamped secondary. You know, they went out and made some trades, free agency, drafted Denzel Ward. So they made some moves there to acquire a lot of talent. You know, some really good players on the back end, and I think that showed. You know, they got four interceptions last week, you know, and six turnovers total, you know, which is pretty impressive. I think their linebacker core is really, really good. I think their front four are very active as well, obviously. You know, Myles Garrett, you know, you turn on the tape and you notice him right away, you know, big, athletic, strong, powerful, and just, you know, making a bunch of plays. He kind of changed the game, you know, against Pittsburgh last week with a sack fumble in the fourth quarter. So,
right,
definitely a defense you got to have a plan for, and you got to be ready for anything. Got to have a plan for Myles Garrett. You know, got to have a plan for all their pressure packages. So, still got a lot of work ahead of us to get ready for these guys.
Drew Brees, Saints quarterback here on QB to QB. Thanks a bunch for the time. Good luck on Sunday against the Browns. All right.
No problem, guys. Thank you.
All right, Drew, thanks.
Right, thanks, Drew.
QB to QB brought to you by Go Auto Insurance Company. Save money, drive safely, and the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center. A couple minutes away from the Saints Players Show, Will Lutz, Saints kicker in the house. Kevin in Folsom. Thanks for your patience, Kevin. You're on WWL.
Hey, Christian. I've been holding for quite a while. If I wasn't passionate about it, I'd have hung up a long time ago. But back to the LHSAA story. I had to go through that as a child or as a senior in high school. I was denied eligibility by the LHSAA. I was being recruited in football at Covington High. I had one vote. I think it might have been 19-1. And I was fortunate enough to have a gentleman by the name of Bernard Carrier, who was a state representative out of Denham Springs, who read about it in the newspaper and sponsored a bill that allowed me to play my senior year. And it was a hardship case where I was pistol whipped as a kid when I was 8 years old and robbed. And, of course, I had a late birthday, so my parents held me back that year, not thinking about an 8-year old going to, you know, what he's going to be when he graduates. And I was 30 days too old to play my senior year. And they cold hearted denied me. So, and then I testified before the state legislator for the kid Clement back in 2014. They're ruthless, and something needs to be done about it.
Yeah, I like Coach Nick Saltamaggio's proposal of, you know, basically, you know, having the LHSAA report to the state. And other states do that, where the athletic commissioning bodies go to and report to the state legislators. And I think that it is a good solution, because there's no oversight with the LHSAA. That's the issue currently at hand. They can just dole out these rulings and not have any kind of checks and balances. And as we all know, when you have checks and balances in athletics or government, what have you, it tends to even out. It tends to be righted. Wrongs can be righted, and rights can you know, happen for people. And for, in this case, Andrew Robeson, I feel sick for this young man to have to sit out his senior season at Hanville. Coming up, it's the Saints Players Show, live at Hooters on Vets in Metairie with Saints field goal kicker Will Lutz here on Saints Radio, WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.